1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Bill Hendry Show.
All right, we're going to have Clara Bingham on, who's a middle school teacher and a youth counselor, later on today on our program to talk about the far-reaching effect of the Kobe Bryant scandal. And I am going to have plenty to say about this coming up next hour. You won't want to miss what we have to say about the Kobe Bryant situation. As you know, we have not been the least bit shy about commenting on these athletes and their ever-increasing inclination toward unacceptable social behavior, or in some instances, criminal behavior. And unlike the sports journalist establishment, the lack thereof, I should say, we've actually been saying some things, that frankly, this has got to get addressed. And so we're going to have a lot to say about Kobe, whether you think he's innocent or guilty. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Now, this is not really related, but maybe it is, because this really made me angry. And I actually got angry at my wife, and then the next day I was all right. But I got home the other night, and I went up to my office. I've got a little office over our garage. It's my little sanctuary. I go up there, and it's really not very clean. It actually has an old mattress laying on the floor. There is a TV set that isn't hooked up to anything but a VCR, so I can watch movies, but I can't get any cable. I could if I actually had the wherewithal and the inclination. I could pick up the phone and call the cable company, but I'm too lazy. So the TV's there. It rests on a very precarious glass table, a very large desk that we had high hopes for at one point, but we've really resigned it to this office now, and there's lots of cigarette burns on it, tons and tons, which I think I'll have the desk refinished at some point, because it's a very nice desk. My computer is there. A variety of videotapes that are important to me, the 1969 Jets-Colts Super Bowl. I've got, I don't know, some old video of me as Raj Fanin on an old TV gig back in Ventura. And a variety of things that keep me busy. My little hobby of Madden 2003. I write. I respond to emails. It's my little sanctuary. So there's a bathroom there. I can, go in and actually I have to run down to the house or anything like that. So I'm up there till about 10 o'clock the other night, and the only guys at home were me and my eldest son. My wife was up at the beach with my daughter and one of our other sons, and my third son is at the comic book convention in San Diego, the Comic-Con, what they call the Comic-Con. And I asked them to get me the Preacher series, and I just got the word yesterday that they don't have it. They only sell used comics down there, and it upset me. It upset me a lot. What's the point of going to a comic book convention when all they have are old comic books? In any event, I got done in the office, and I came down to the driveway, and as I was walking around the corner, my oldest son is there in the backyard, sitting on the edge of this little spa that we have, talking with his girl. There's nothing wrong with that. There's only one problem that I had. And my son's 17, and this young lady was 17, and he's a good kid. I don't mistrust him from that standpoint. The problem I had was that nobody told me that this girl was coming over. She's only 17, and she and I had a relationship last year, sexual in nature. I'm kidding. No, she's only 17. So I said, and believe me, don't embarrass your kids. Just don't embarrass them. Don't go, oh, come here for a minute, I have to talk to you. Just go, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Don't. So I said, come on over, man. He says, yeah, what's up? I said, it's 10 o'clock, man. Who's this girl? Oh, mom said it was okay. I already checked it out with her. I said, okay, that's fine, but you got to ask her to leave. Why? I said, you have to understand something, man. We're two men, two males. She's a female. The world we live in today is not necessarily friendly toward men in that way. You got to get her out of here. What are you talking about? Because if she were to say something happened, it's down to her word against us, two males. Do you understand? Well, she's not that kind of girl. She'd never do that. I said, I have no doubt in the world that she's probably a great girl and that she would never do that. But we just can't bank on that, man. I've never met her. I trust you when you say, you got to get her out of here. Just make an excuse. Just slowly but surely ask her. She said, I can't do that. I said, why? She drove 40 minutes to get here. I said, I'm going to get mom on the phone. I call my wife up.
Yes.
I said, look. Don't you? Well, what do you want me to do now? I said, well, there's nothing I can do. I told him it was all right. I'm sure it's going to be okay. I said, you're a woman. You have no concept of what I'm talking about. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I know it's tough for men. But she's a really good girl, and she's related to this person and that person. That doesn't make me feel any better. She said something about, you know, Ronald Reagan and George Washington. It doesn't matter to me. And I said, no. I can't do anything about it. Click. Okay, that's fine. So finally, I handed the phone to my son. I said, I'm going to bed. And I went to bed, and I said, your curfew's midnight, right? He says, absolutely, man. I says, all right, turn everything off. Lock the doors. Midnight, right? Yeah, okay, she's got to be gone at midnight, right? Which was at about an hour and a half. And I laid down, and I couldn't sleep a wink because every time I didn't hear anything, that's, you know, when there's talking, you're okay. You can fall out. But the minute there's like no talking, and then I'm hearing everything. I'm hearing,
well, you know, I really like you.
Yeah, I kind of like you, too.
You know, I wouldn't have driven 40 miles.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, have you ever seen this? Oh, look at this.
Oh, you made it come out of your nose.
Yeah. And I'm listening to this. And then finally I said, hey, guys, time to knock off. You know, it was like 5 to midnight. This was a big argument I had with my wife. Now, the men listening to me right now know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you better get the clue real fast. I'm just telling you, because this world that we live in, and we may be seeing a taste of that right now with this Kobe Bryant thing, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. That's the more important question, maybe not. But the world we live in today, if you're a man, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you invite your daughter's friends over when your wife isn't there, if you offer to give the babysitter a ride home without somebody else in the car, if you have your son and his girlfriend over and you're the only parent there, you're an idiot. I don't care how well you know her. I don't care if she's the greatest thing since sliced bread and your son's going to marry her and you know the family and all that. I don't care. You're an idiot. Because you don't know, man. And when it hits you, when it comes, when the hot kiss at the end of the wet fist of fate comes around and finally nails you, you won't know what hits you. You'll swear to God you never saw it coming. You'll be shocked. You'll be stunned. You won't even believe it could happen to you. That's how frightening. And I got another clue for you if you don't know this, and I'm sure you do. I don't care if there are 100 guys there and just one woman, they'll believe her and not you. They'll believe her and not you. Now, let's be clear. Many women, many, are victimized, abused, raped, and otherwise assaulted by men every year. It is a real problem and an epidemic. But the facts are, many innocent men are charged as well by emotionally unstable women who see an opportunity to take advantage of a situation. That happens too. Now, because of the violence committed against women, which we better do something about, we can't ignore the other side of it, which is that some men are getting caught up in a huge gill net that's just sort of tossed out there for any and all prevert, and some poor innocent slob taking a babysitter home. Some poor innocent slob hosting a party for his daughter. Taking his daughter and a friend camping. It could be anything. Buddy, don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just do yourself a favor. It's sad. It's a very sad reality if you want to stop, get right down to think about it. It's a very sad reality. But don't do it, man, because the alternative is worse. It's much worse. Now, whether this kid Bryant is guilty or not, I don't know. We're going to have a lot to say about this. Oh, baby. And not only am I going to say a lot about Kobe, wait till you hear what I got to say about the so-called sports journalists in this town and across the country. When I say sports journalists, we may not have any in L.A. We may not have one. But if this guy's innocent, well, you know what? I don't even feel sorry for Kobe Bryant. If he's innocent, already they got him innocent. They got this chick is holed up in her apartment. Everybody wants to believe him and not her. And maybe I shouldn't even bring this up in context to his problems, because as far as I'm concerned, he ain't got any. But I am talking about the very real possibility that you poor dumb idiot, trying to be a good father, trying to be a nice guy, trying to be a, you know, you want to be a nice guy, pal? Just be a nice guy while your wife's there, too. Just be a nice guy while there's witnesses. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with more. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And then the other thing, I found a volleyball in my backyard that had a cactus, the pointy end of a cactus leaf, shoved through it. And that volleyball belongs to my daughter, and I know one of those three boys did it. And when I asked them, they denied it. They looked me straight up and down, and they said they didn't do it. And I know one of them's lying. And I know which one, too. He's the one that actually didn't make any eye contact. Even when I said, okay, how much allowance do we owe you? 15 weeks. Really? Okay, well, kiss it goodbye. Because I love that old, you know, the Marine Corps way. One guy screws up, everybody gets it, okay? One guy doesn't want to admit, then everyone's going to take the fall. And that means all of you guys. So you're all losing out on 15 weeks worth of allowance, which comes to around $27,000. And you can just forget it. What are you talking about? And the two guys that bitched, right? The guy that didn't say nothing, that's the guy that did it. That's the guy that did it. And I know who did it. Alex. But anyway, so you see, the problem I got with my kids is they're kids and they lie. I just don't want any kid to lie to me. Kids lie. They're always going to lie. I lied very well. But a kid that lies to me, that means I don't see my DirecTV. I come walking out there today, the plug's out of the wall. The plug is out of the wall. You know that little plug, that remote? By the way, DirecTV, can I get a service? Can I get any kind of service, please? First of all, I want to be very, very clear. I love DirecTV. I have to say that, of course, because they're the only satellite company that carries the National Football League package. I just love them. But when I call up for some service, I want somebody on the other end of the phone who's going to help me with something other than, yeah, get the box out of the back of the set, Mr. Hendry, and if you can get a little pin and stick it down into the thing until the light goes on green, and then call me back in 10 minutes. What is that? That's not service. You got me doing the service. I want a service call out at my house, please. I'll call you. Don't worry about it. I don't need anybody to call me from DirecTV.
Mr. Hendry, we heard your show.
But I, for the last 3 months, I want to order a movie, and I can't get it because it says, call this extension because they hasn't dialed you up in time, and, you haven't been ordering any movies, and so therefore the connection was lost, and so on and so forth. And so I call them, and yes, sir, it seems that there hasn't been any more order made for TV, and it disconnects after a certain period of time, so we'll have to reconnect you, and could you go and take a look at the menu and the service menu, check the satellite strength, and check this. Now do this for me, go into the... Just do it. Just get me back on the air. Now, I got no pay-per-view right now. Now, I order the NFL package every year. It's about $100.50. Well worth it. And on top of all those problems, I got my kids pulling that remote thing out of the wall. So I had just a suggestion for DirecTV. You guys do a great job. I love your service. Honest to God, I do. Beats the hell out of having cable. Which my oldest and, I thought, dearest friend, Neil Rogers, who's now in Toronto, I think, and not doing well. They just see him wandering up and down the boardwalk there on Lake Ontario. Yeah, I don't know. He's got a, you know, that little pinky finger with the big nail. It's full of something. But he used to say, get a satellite dish. And I used to say, oh, what do you know? You drunk. But he was right. I got a satellite dish. It's the greatest thing to have. And your options are amazing. But you got to get some service. Oh, by the way, don't do what I did, which was to put the satellite dish on the ground. And when people would say to me, why do you have the satellite dish down near the ground? I said, because the satellite is tens of thousands of miles into space. You think 8 feet's going to make a difference, genius?
Well, that's a really good point.
Well, now I know why people put it on the roof of their house, because the weeds don't grow over top of it. And one day I'm sitting in my house, like 2 weeks ago, my wife was out of town. Why the hell can't I get any TV service? I couldn't get anything. I go around to my dish. It's just overgrown with beehives and wasps' nests and, you know, like ivy all over it. I had to go into the garage and get those industrial-strength shears those bolt cutters and start cutting vine off of my satellite dish. Sure enough, I got reception. Because people tell you, well, it's a radio signal, dude. It's not going to be affected by any of that. Yeah, uh-huh, really? Come on over to my house and try to watch some TV. So that's why you should put it on the roof of your house, so it doesn't get weeds growing over top of it. Anyway, as I say, DirecTV, how about some service? Thank you. If it wouldn't be too much trouble. Next hour, as I said, Kobe Bryant will be on our minds, Kobe on our brain. We also have a lot to say about the L.A. Laker organization. We'll have a lot to say about the so-called sports journalist establishment in the city of Los Angeles. Nothing has been more disgraceful than their behavior. Well, just their lack of anything creative to say over the last few days. And we'll also be talking about the broadcasters, the so-called sports broadcasters. Man, if you catch, drop the ball big time. What a joke you guys are. What an utter joke. The sports broadcasters in this town, and for all I know across the country, have been since Kobe Bryant opened his big fat sniveling mouth on Friday. More to say about that next hour. Clara Bingham will also be our very special guest. Clara is going to talk about how do you discuss this with the children? Tony, how are you? Another fag in Miami. 1-800-449-8686. Pentagon moves 4,500 Marines into Liberia. Why should we care? Because, brother, that's the 51st state. You heard me right. You guys don't want to pay attention to Liberia because you think it's just another country in Africa with all kinds of civil war and crazy people running around. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity. Liberia used to be, or still is, if you want to think of it this way, it's a place where Americans and their descendants live. The Liberian people see themselves as Americans. The president of Liberia took his cue from the American president. He said, I'll do whatever President Bush said to do. Get your ass out of there. Yes, sir. Never in the history of this planet have we had more of a right to move in, stick our ass there permanently, than in Liberia. And they'd love it. They'd love it. Do we need it? Yes, we do. It's a foothold onto the continent of Africa, which is the future. Is the business future of the world. Say what you want about Japan and Asia and all these other jazzy, exciting, and interesting, and just exotic locales that they've been telling us about for the last 50 years. Africa, baby, that's where it is. Why do you think Bush was making a big speech about AIDS? Why do you think Bush is making a big... Why do you think he went there? Why do you think we got troops in Liberia? I'll tell you why. Because the time is now. It's time to move. See, business is the business of this country. I'm not talking about putting people into torture chambers and putting them in dungeons or propping up dictatorships. I think that's the big mistake this country's made, and we better get out of that business first before we do anything else. But having said that, there's nothing wrong with us having a very strong presence in a country that wants us there, and Liberia is the place. Besides, the interior mountain range in the country of Liberia is called the Bong Range. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Web address is www.philhenryshow.com. More importantly, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, speaking of kids, Vernon Dozier, his daughter came back from summer camp, which wasn't a problem, but she had learned one of those annoying camp songs. And an annoying camp song is one thing, but an annoying camp song over and over and over again causes a man, at least in Vernon's case, not to be able to even balance his checkbook, not to be able to do any work at all. And a caller to Vernon took exception to this.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just think it's a shame that you're blaming that you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
Well, who am I supposed to blame?
Well, I would say you need to look at yourself.
No. I'm doing the work. I go into my office at night. I try to balance the checkbook. And then I hear her singing about country girls going around the mountain and all this.
And how much did you mess your checkbook up? By $2,000?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
I mean, I could see it if you missed it by $10 or $20, but $1,600 or something else wrong.
Oh, really? And what are you intimating?
I'm just saying that you can't take care of your money and you're wanting to blame it on your kids, what I'm saying.
Sir, why is it a kid's got to sing a stupid... What is that supposed to mean, Miss... Her steamboat went to Hello Operator?
Well, they're silly songs.
What does that mean?
It's camp. It's camp. It's kids' camp. I mean, I don't understand the songs
sir,
either.
You
know, my kids sing them, too.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
They don't mess my checkbook up with $2,000.
Do your kids sing these bubblegum deals, this bazooka gum deal, this cheese?
I haven't heard those
all right,
songs.
Then
I've
if
heard
you
other
have,
songs. But...
All right, sir, then I don't mean any disrespect, but then you got to shut the pie hole and listen to me because you don't know. Like...
Don't tell anybody to shut their pie hole
hey,
around here, okay?
Oh, you're the one who sounds like an idiot on here, not me.
How am I sounding like an idiot?
You're the one blaming you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
I didn't say just because of their kids. I said because they're singing that bubblegum song.
Well, that's an easy way out. You need to look at yourself, I think. That's just my opinion.
Hey, there you go.
Hey,
Now you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Right, I am laughing at you.
Okay. That's fine.
Look, Mr. Dozier.
No, that's okay.
No, Mr. Dozier, we're not trying to...
No, you guys want to laugh at me, that's fine. But I'm the one who had to sit there and... with my head tilted back in the car with cotton stuffed up my nose as my wife drove me to the emergency room because my daughter is sitting there singing Bazooka Zooka Bubblegum and the whole G.D. Steamboat song, which I...
All right, Trey, I agree with you, sir, just for the record.
I agree, sir. Yes.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's good. Anyway, that's Vernon Dozier and his whole problem with the camp songs. Miss Susie went to Hello Operator. You know, when my daughter was small, I'd screw the song up purposefully. Miss Susie had a car. The car went, no, it's Steamboat. Anyway, enough about my kids. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's get back to Liberia. Who wants to hear about my kids? Brats. Who wants to hear about that? And the hell they caused me. And this morning, I had a big thing, man. I come out, you know, they got the remote thing. It's pulled out of the wall. Who did that? Oh, well, somebody was using a computer. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. We got 8 million computers around that joint. And they were IMing somebody. They're sitting on a floor in a wall jack somewhere in the house, and they're IMing their friend on a portable computer because all the other 1,600 computers are in use. Just because I use my computer all the time, that's got nothing to do with it. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, don't you think that I have the right, because I'm a grown-up man at the age of 50, that I can do some stuff on my own and I don't have to be held to the same standard some kid is? Come on. Speaking of kids, there's a guy, you got to hear this, because this is fantastic. This is the smartest guy that I've heard of in the last 6 months. This guy's name is Michael Newdow. Have you heard of him? Michael Newdow's in Washington right now. He wants his daughter to say the Pledge of Allegiance. But... and this is what we proposed a few months ago. He said, take out the words under God. Just take them out. And now the Supreme Court is going to hear this. He is an atheist. He is a physician. He has a daughter with a woman who is not his wife. She has custody. And all of this has to do and is part and parcel of I think, a larger custody matter. Now, forget that the guy's an atheist. I don't care. And it's not because I don't love Jesus. What I'm trying to say is this is a smart guy, and this is what we said. How come we can't have a Pledge of Allegiance, and you just take out under God? What do I care? I ain't married to that phrase. It's not what it's about anyway. It's a normal pledge of allegiance to a flag. It helps you understand the democratic principle and the society and the country you live in. When you're a kid. When you're a kid. When you're a kid. See, there's the age of 18. Before that, you're a kid. After that, you're an adult. After 18 and that, you can do anything you want to do. You can screw your life up any way you want. You can go this way, that way, up, down, any way you want. Before 18, though, you're a kid. You may think you're an adult. You may act like you're an adult. You may wear lipstick, high heels, and you may sleep with guys who are twice your age. Or you may be a young guy who, you know, the local housewife down the street thinks is the stud of the month. But you're still a kid. You're a kid, and that means that you have to do what the adults tell you to do. Not necessarily the old widow at the end of the block, though. If I were you, I'd bring that one up to my parents. You have to. There are legal reasons for this. If you go out and protest and you do something that is in violation of someone's civil rights or is in violation of the law, guess who gets it? Your folks do. Civilly, anyway. If you're going out there and protesting things like you don't want to have a dress code and you don't want to have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or you do want to say it, or you don't want to have it, guess what? It's none of your business. Because ultimately, while we care about what you feel and we care about what you think, you don't have the final say because you're a kid. I'm sorry, it sucks. I know it sounds bad, but that's the facts. And there's reasons for that. Well, why can't we have prayer at school? I mean, because there's what, do we got to go through this again? There's a country here that has within it not only Christians, but Buddhists, the Flemish, Laplanders, Druids, all kinds of cats. People that don't believe in God, people that believe in God only if he's metamorphosized into a cat. And the original pledge didn't have under God in it anyway. To me, it's about America. It's about this country. And it is very, very good education for a young person to acknowledge his homeland. Now, when you turn 18, you can pee all over the flag if you want to. You can take a crap in it if you'd like to. You can throw it into the... You do whatever you want. But as a child, we owe it to you. As adults, we owe you the very best that we have to offer, which is some sense of community and citizenship, a sense as to... the reality of the world, its science, its physical nature, its philosophical ideas and concepts, its people, its history, its geography, etc. You need to know where you are. We also owe you good parenting. You don't get that, you have a right to be angry. And whatever else we can do. Every now and again, slip you a beer, you know, if you're old enough and you can handle it. Stuff like that. And in return, you'll worship us as your lords and masters. You will give us really cool gifts on our birthdays and, you know, cook us breakfast and stuff, scrub out toilets, and be our slaves. That's all we ask. And you go to school, say, I pledge allegiance, what the hell is it? Oh, yeah, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible. See, there ain't no under God in there. And all I need to hear is one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Now, what the hell's wrong with saying that? What's wrong with that? I pledge allegiance to the flag. Oh, what do you think? It makes you a slave? Oh, I get it. Okay, like Heil Hitler? Yeah, sure, that's right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. No, man, no. Now, nobody's got you in the Hitler Youth. You know, you're not with the SS thing on the... You know, you're not pledging your undying devotion to the Fuhrer. It's just I pledge allegiance. Meaning you remember where you're from. You remember who you are. Remember that old story we were told as kids? The man without a country? The guy that was put on the ship? You don't? Well, it was bullcrap anyway. Anyway, imagine being someone without a country, huh? Be pretty cool, actually. No, it would be sad. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. So that's all we want to do. But oh no, 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 no. All the hard cases want to have under God in there. They must have it in there. This country was founded on God. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. And all of the yes, it was won't make a difference. There's no mention of God in the Constitution. I remember that brain surgeon that called about 3 months ago, God's in the Constitution. I said, no, he isn't. Yes, he is. No. I said, have you even read the Constitution? Well, it's in. I said it's in the Declaration of Independence, but the Declaration of Independence is not a legal document as to the governing charter of this country. It's just a Declaration of Independence from Britain. Well, I knew it was one of the two. Well, there's a big difference between them, pal. Worship anywhere you want, man. So I like this cat, this Michael Newdow. I'm going to make my kids say it before they leave the house. What do you think of that? So you're not, are you saying it at school? No, we're not. Well, you're going to say it now anyway. And then, and if anything, they ain't going to put in under God. They're going to put in under Phil. What the hell is this under God? You're going to put in under Phil. You want to know where, you want to know where the fat of the land is, man. You want to know where the good life's coming from, baby. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under Phil, indivisible, under mom and dad. That's even better. Dig that. And then I will pat each of their heads as they go out the door. Bless them. In nomine Patris, Spiritus, Spiritus Sancti, Amen. And go and sin no more. Coming up next hour, we'll talk all about Kobe. You didn't think we were going to forget about that, did you? We're going to talk all about it. We'll indict who needs to be indicted. We'll expose who needs to be exposed. We'll talk about the world of sport. As you know, we have discussed this area of life, and we've sort of made this our own personal little, I don't want to call it a campaign, but we've just made this a personal passion, if you will. And now, lo and behold, we got Kobe Bryant. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, time for our mailbag. Hey, Phil, I'm an avid listener of yours and just want to comment on the sports guys that you are going after. First of all, I just want you to know I support you on this, and it's about time someone gets some balls to go after these guys instead of, just as you put it, sniffing their jock straps. I'm a black man, and it really embarrasses me to see these black athletes behaving like animals, and I know that race has nothing to do with it, but let's face it, they are black, and that's all that people see. On the other hand, I would like to thank you for putting out, putting the out-of-touch bigots in their place when they call in and say that all blacks are good for us picking cotton. Jeffrey. By the way, Jeffrey, I don't believe you're black for a second. If ever a white guy wrote that, by the way, I'm black, but, you know, they are animals. Yeah, nice try. Oh, you mean he was? Phil, I'm also a fat ass. It's all my fault, and I won't be suing anyone about it. I'm glad somebody else has been on about bigger T-shirts. Nice commentary lately about those who are as big as the cruise ship they're on, by the way. No gland problems or big bones here. I'm just a slob when it came to eating. Did you catch Carol Channing on Larry King the other night? Everything she said had me rolling because all I could hear was your impression in my head saying, corn? I don't remember eating corn. Damn you, Dave. And that's our mailbag. Let's listen, shall we? What if a station specialized in playing that? And now, here's another great one. Hey, yeah, right. I'm a black man, but let's face it, it is embarrassing. What's embarrassing? You know, it ain't race. Of course, you can say that till the cows come home. Hey, all you got to do is take a look at the sports wire during the hockey season to know what I'm talking about. Biggest pack of white. Don't look at me quizzically, Pelton. I know you hate black people, but I'm sorry. It's true. Biggest bunch of wife beaters in the world are hockey players. You want to know why? Because it gets so cold. I'm serious. When I worked in Minneapolis, this is the truth. Now, you have to hear this because you're not going to believe me, but this is the truth. When I worked up at WCCO in Minneapolis, one of the engineers would say, like, on a, say it's a February night, it's about 7 o'clock, well, I'm going home, Phil. Yeah, what are you going to do? I'm going to drink, whatever, like what I always do, listen to my police scanner and drink beer. I said, what are you doing now? Oh, he says, it's fantastic. In the middle of winter, the wife beating and the violence, it's great because it's so cold, everybody has to stay indoors. And they get on each other's nerves. So they wind up beating their wives up. So that's why these Canadians, that's what they do. Well, not the Canadians, the hockey players. They're holed up in a place all winter, and they can't get out, and, you know, there's nothing to do. So they wind up smacking their wives around. Like that guy that was the goalie for the Florida Panthers, he was down in Key West or something, chased her down the street. And a bunch of these other guys. Meatheads. Not only that, but the violence they commit on the ice. Who's that big slob that used to play for the Colorado Avalanche? Claude Lemieux. Boy, there's a guy that belonged in a cage long ago. You talk about a slob. He lives in my neighborhood. Well, when I say my neighborhood, he lives in a slightly tonier area. But he's like 2 miles away from where I live. He bought in the same place where Gretzky bought. I guess Gretzky and he are sweethearts now. There was a time, Gretzky, when Lemieux would have broken your face open on the boards. Now, what are you guys doing now? You playing cards together, huh? Getting together for barbecues? Is that it? Who's that Red Wing? That guy almost killed that guy. So forget about whether or not they're committing violence off the ice. These guys are out there on the ice doing, of course, now they say they got it under control. And hockey really is about the skating. And it's just a great sport. Fine, great. I got nothing against the sport. In terms of the larger t-shirts, I just want to let you guys know I have been petitioning the people who run my website to get us bigger shirts, the four double X's, etc. And I'm trying to convince them that I've just got fatter listeners. I got some big boys out there listening to me, and they're like, what are you talking about? I said, what do you think? This is a fashion show I got going here? I got big, fat guys listening to me. Now I need some four triple X's, and I need them now. Let's go. Well, I don't know if they make them in tent size. Get extra fabric. Order it in. Bring it in from France, wherever you bring it. Get it in from China. If you got to lay it out and cut it out with, you know, like a tarp and cut out the shirt designs, do that. But let's go. What do you think this is, Dr. Laura's listeners? Everybody's 70 and weighs about 50 pounds. I got some guys that are out there driving trucks. These freaking guys will kill me if I don't get some shirts, so let's go. So we're going to work on getting the big shirts in. Go to our website, and you can see our souvenir shop, know what we're talking about. Which, by the way, buy our CD. We really appreciate that. It goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. Stick around. We got Kobe Talk coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, here we are. I thought I'd let some of the dust settle after this press conference they had on Friday, because I want to talk about the Kobe Bryant issue as a larger issue. It's important to everybody who is a sports fan. It's important to everyone who follows the leisure time activities of sports and entertainment in this country. And as we have said on our show, unlike any sports reporter has ever said, and we've been saying it for several weeks now, and we, in a rather, I don't know, in a probably a moment of sheer stupidity, we sort of declared war on the traditional image of sports and sports athletes. The people that are getting abused here are you, the sports fans. You're being made fun of. You are being mocked. You're being mocked. And you don't know it, a lot of you. Now, Kobe Bryant, I don't know whether he's guilty of rape or not, but let me get that out of the way. If he's not guilty of rape, he's not guilty of rape, and he's an innocent man, he's free to go to deal with whatever life he thinks he's got. If he's guilty of rape, then he's going to go away for at least as long as Michael Tyson. If he doesn't, there's something seriously wrong. He's going to go away as long as Mike Tyson did, and when he comes out, he won't be a basketball player anymore. He'll be another ex-con looking for a job. That's what Kobe Bryant's got in front of him. That's if he raped her. But let's talk about something else. Let's talk about another athlete doing something that is embarrassing at best and unmanly at worst. And that is screwing around on his wife and his kid while he supposedly represents a supposed quality organization like the LA Lakers. And we'll get to that in a minute, whether they're quality or not. And what is a quality sports organization? They're an entertainment organization is what they are. They provide an entertainment product. Now, in one of the most disgusting displays that the local Los Angeles media involved itself in over this past weekend, and man, they were stumbling all over themselves trying to act dumber than the guy in front of him. They interviewed children. Children! What do you think about Kobe and this rape thing? Children! But I guess that's their way of saying, hey, here's the reality of the world. Now, a local sports host, and I won't mention his name, on his radio show in the afternoon on Friday called Kobe Bryant Courageous. I'm not going to mention the guy's name because that's typical of the way the sports journalists in this country view athletes who always get a pass, always get an excuse, always got somebody patting them on the butt and telling them it's going to be okay, and telling them everybody does it. It's a representation of society. If they do it, then everyone does it. And after all, these are young black men who are under the pressure of all this money and all these women throwing themselves at them. What are they supposed to do? And every other excuse that they can squeeze out of a press machine, out of the sports propaganda ministry, that's what they do. This guy calls him courageous. Kobe Bryant stood in front of the media on Friday, and he looked like a sniveling woman. Pardon me, ladies, I don't mean to. I'm really not putting you down, but in the world of sports jocks, that's a real insult, so you'll pardon me if I'm just speaking jock language for a second. You look like a sniveling woman, Bryant. You didn't look like a man. You're not a man. You're a adult. You were swept into the world of sport at a very young age. You are still trying to find your way as a man. If you're a man, you treat your wife like a man. You don't embarrass her. You don't mock her. And you certainly don't hold your own child up to ridicule, which is what you did. Now, son, and I don't care how much money you got, Kobe, you're still just a young punk trying to find his way. Son, do the honorable thing and give that woman her freedom. Then you can go out and get AIDS for all I care. Do the honorable thing. That gal's entitled to half your juice right now. Might as well give it to her now because you know, as sure as God made green apples, she's going to get it someday because she's going to divorce you. Right now, she stands by your side like some sort of a joke picture put together by the media and these guys that write for the LA Times. Why don't you cats get a real job? This Dufresne and this Plaschke, these guys are stunned. They're shocked. Dufresne's one of the guys said, I wouldn't want my kids to see the sports page. What are you kidding, man? You let them read it all the other times? Did you let them read about Mike Tyson, Dufresne? Or is Mike Tyson just an animal, just a monkey in a cage, and you would expect that out of him, right? And you, Plaschke, you know, why don't you just come right out and say that Kobe Bryant's a piece of crap? Oh, is it that you know him too well and you think that he's a real sweetheart and you're just stunned that he could behave this way? Don't you understand what you're dealing with? You guys are supposed to be sports writers. You're supposed to understand the nature of the beast that you're interviewing. Don't you see what this guy is? He's a little dancer in a bottle, man. They got him out of high school. They put a lot of money in his pocket. They protect him. They say everything for him. They put the words in his mouth every step of the way. The guy's got the propaganda ministry churning something out for him. Do you really honestly believe you thought you knew the guy? I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm saying he's just a kid. He's not a hero. He's not somebody who is to be emulated. He's not, his face doesn't belong on a coin. His face doesn't belong on a library. He is a guy with sneakers and a basketball. He dribbles a basketball for a living. He's got a beautiful wife. I understand he's got a new son, new child, new daughter. And he stood there after he got caught. After he got caught. And he stood there and he wept like a little girl. Now, he looked like a punk. He acted like a little girl. He wasn't courageous. So let me just correct that observation, because, folks, the sad truth is there isn't anybody in the sports broadcast world that's going to be honest with you. There's nobody in the sports journalism world that's going to be honest with you. It's left to me. Because those guys make their living sucking the kneecaps of those guys. What do you think, they're going to tell the truth? Then I read this quote from this guy, Kupchak, who's the GM of the Lakers. Now, you got to hear this. His quote was as follows, and there are a number, but they actually highlighted. I got it right here, Janice. And then, of course, Allen Iverson had to weigh in, that little piece of garbage. Allen Iverson, a real punk, if ever there was one, with, I don't want to comment. People comment on situations I got in, and I didn't like it. Well, Allen, people are going to comment on you. You keep going out there and acting like the little piece of crap that you are. You're another one, man. I don't care how good you play basketball. You're another one. You're an embarrassment. Mitch Kupchak, this guy who's the GM of the Lakers, says, naturally, we're disappointed in today's announcement. Hey, Mitch, the announcement today was that your boy got arrested for rape. While there are many questions concerning this issue, we will wait for time and the judicial process to answer them. In the meantime, we will continue to offer our support to Kobe and his family. What are you going to do? You're going to wipe his rear end for him? What do you mean offer your support? You're going to give him more Kleenex? Are you going to blow his nose? What are you talking about? Offer him support? For what? Now, Mitch Kupchak, he's going to run boxes of Kleenex over to Kobe's house. He's the GM of the Lakers. This guy's job now is running Kleenex over to Kobe Bryant. Well, if you don't do it, man, maybe some of these cats that do sports shows around here could do it, huh? They'd be happy to run some Kleenex over to him, huh? Half of you lightweights that are doing your shows, you guys never, ever tell the truth. You misserve your audience day in and day out, night in and night out. You never, ever take these guys on. You never do it. You want to know why? Because you're afraid that you won't get into the locker room for an interview. With who? With what? What's he going to say? There's probably more interesting things to listen to if you were just to put pen to paper and come up with your own observations on what you see than putting a microphone in front of one of these dumbasses. And then the Laker fans are something to behold. There's something else. I mean, they're a piece of work. Let me tell you, if I may, I had Lakers season tickets. I had them for 8 years. I paid a lot of money for those. I went and saw the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers in the 80s. I saw Kareem and James Worthy, and I saw, all of them, man, Magic, everybody. I watched the championships against the Celtics and the Pistons. I watched the championship against the Sixers. I was a Laker fan. Big time. Still am. Still am. I love basketball. I'm just getting tired of unacceptable, animal-like behavior sort of being pawned off on just a representation of society. And I don't know whether you guys know this or not, you people in the front office, it's not that comfortable a proposition going to a major league sporting event anymore. It's not comfortable, man. I'm not talking about the price. The price itself is usurious. The price itself is highway robbery. You know it and I know it. But okay, let's just say we go ahead and we pay the price. The seats are uncomfortable. The sight lines sometimes are lousy. You got to wait forever to get food. You got to take your children who are half asleep out to the car. You got to find your car in the middle of a parking lot. You're standing there. Sometimes when you're with a child or one of your young people, you're standing with a bunch of slobs pouring beer in each other. They can't watch their language. Yeah, I've long ago given up. Entertaining any idea that I was going to be able to protect my kids from stuff like that. But the point I'm trying to make here is it's not the greatest experience. If you really love the team, you want to go out and you want to watch them. And sometimes some of your teams stink the joint out so bad, you talk about a lawsuit. We ought to sue the whole NBA. You talk about suing because they stink. And what do we get for our trouble? All that bread, it's kind of uncomfortable. go on out there, and you guys stink it out on the court. And then we got to get the kids, pick them up, drag them out to the car, put them in a car, and drive home. And hope that we've had a good time. It's a good thing. Would you guys like the game tonight? I'm sorry that they lost. Yeah, maybe next time we can get better seats. Well, I'll try. I don't know. It's really expensive. And that's the night. That's the night that you have. In the meantime, these guys are elevated to a position whereby if they're raping, if they're violent, well, they made a mistake. Well, let's move on. This is day what, Chris? 8 that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not had the... I'm not going to call it the courage anymore. They just can't be bothered. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the world champions of football. They can't be bothered with some pesky talk show host asking about some walking piece of human excrement that they employ as a football player, Michael Pittman. They can't be bothered with that, can they? Why, they're just, they're the world champions of football. Haven't you heard? Oh, yeah. It's in all the papers. They're big time. And they're going to go out there and they're getting ready for the season. So they're not going to talk about this other guy, this Derek Smith. Some punk waving a gun around in traffic. Waving a gun around, and the next thing I know, he's addressing a group of school kids. Because the adults that organized that personal appearance apparently are so stupid, I mean so incredibly stupid, that it doesn't matter to them that they got a punk who was busted on a gun charge talking to their kids. You know, at 18 you become an adult. Some of you never become men. Never. If you're lucky, you become a man. If you're lucky, you become a woman. This guy, Bryant, he's still trying to find his manhood. He ain't found it yet. And let me tell you something else, kid. When you guys stand there in front of a microphone and you ask to be treated as a man, you act like one first. You got it, Junior. Otherwise, take your money, dribble your basketball, and shut up. Then you'll get treated like a man. And you know something? You got a lot of money, and you're very famous, but I'm a few years older than you, so I know what I'm talking about. Okay, we got a few other quotes. These Laker fans are not to be believed. And some other comments from the attorney. And what about Kobe's wife? You know, she ain't the brightest bulb in the tree either. And what about this chick that says she was raped? We'll talk about her, too, when we come back. 1-800-449-8686. Remember, this is the show where we take these guys on, okay? We don't fumble around wondering where our loyalties lie. We got no loyalty with sports other than occasionally they give us a good ball game. So don't worry about it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, they quote a strong reaction to the Bryant case, and they have an article that it purports to be about how, I guess, the media and the fan base reacted to Kobe Bryant. And they quote callers to sports talk shows in this article. They only quote one host. So basically, what that means is it's the only guy that had an opinion. And the other guys, well, they didn't want to look like they were bashing the Lakers. I'll bash the Lakers. You know something? You guys are an organization that is a proven commodity as an excellent provider of basketball entertainment. You guys are world champions. Try being world champions in another venue. Try being world champions when it comes to dealing with these individuals, these character cases on your team. Tell you what, do this, all right? Make these guys more accessible to the fans. Make these individuals more accessible to the media. Don't hold them up as these little lambs to be protected and to get their beauty sleep, because they got to tuck in with their blankets at 10 o'clock at night. And no interviews this and no interviews that. Understand that the people that are in your employ are weak pieces of crap like the rest of us who are out there, who are out there doing things that if I were to do it, well, my wife throws my ass out in the street with all of my clothes, and I don't have anybody to hold a press conference for me, and I sure as hell don't have anybody I can cry my tears to. Maybe my boss cares, maybe he doesn't. Most likely he won't. As a matter of fact, it ain't anything I'm going to even tell my boss. I don't need that on top of everything else, right? I move into some apartment, I don't get to see my kids, I blew it, and there ain't anybody there holding my hand. Well, Phil, why are you being so hard on Kobe? I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but only in the world of sports is the fall cushioned so frequently, is your fall broken so often that you'd swear to God these guys don't fall at all. First chance, and second chance, and third chance, and fourth chance, and fifth chance, and sixth chance. Screw up after screw up. Unacceptable behavior after unacceptable behavior. Crime after crime. Gun crimes. Domestic abuse crimes. And even these cats, the guy stands there and says, well, I'm guilty of adultery, sniveling like a child. I mean, he was embarrassing. He was embarrassing. You know what, Kobe? If you can't be a man to that beautiful wife of yours, maybe we'll have to induce her to commit a little adultery herself. What do you think of that? Because I may be older than you, man, but I guarantee I'd make her tilt like a freaking pinball machine. What do you think of that? Because apparently, you ain't home to do it. I don't care if you are a sneaker-wearing, basketball-dribbling stud. I don't buy it. Other than the fact that you play great basketball, I don't buy anything else. I don't think you're necessarily clean cut. I don't think you're necessarily a great dad, a great father, a this, a that, a something else, or whatever else all the guys that are employed by the sports propaganda ministry want to pump out day in and day out. I don't buy any of it. How about that beautiful wife of yours committing some adultery? What do you think of that? Because, man, she is tasty looking. Don't you agree? Every guy out there agrees. She is fine. I tell you what, dude, if you're too busy, we ain't. She's beautiful. And she's going to kick your ass out of the house, too. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. She will throw you out. When the dust settles and all of the heat around this situation finally settles, she's going to throw you out. Then you'll be seen around town at nightclubs with this eligible starlet and that eligible starlet. And then, I don't know, you'll marry another starlet and there'll be some domestic violence. And then you'll retire from the Lakers. And then, I don't know, maybe you'll buy some car washes and call them the Kobe Wash. 1-800-449-8686. Back with your phone calls after this, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know, a lot of you guys out there who have daughters and you're trying to work them into the professional life, it's tough for young women these days, but especially men know how business works. You want to get your daughter in on the ground floor of a great business. This hunt, these guys are hunting women who are nude with paintballs, and they make 2 G's a hunt. I think it's an exciting new way for a young woman to be introduced to the world of business and make a couple of grand, having some guy shoot paintballs at her ass. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Steve. Hello, Steve.
Phil, I'm with you 100% on the Kobe Bryant deal. I just can't believe how these all these sports figures have really lost touch with the common man.
How did they ever have touch with a common man?
And I'll tell you what happened was I was in Baltimore in the Inner Harbor about 5 or 6 years ago.
You were where?
At a World War II veterans conference over there, and they also had the Oakland A's stand at the same place at the same time. And all these
midgets
kids rushing over to get these autographs by these Oakland A's who wouldn't give them the time
Henry
of day.
Wadsworth
and these veterans
Longfellow
just looking at these kids running by them, and they just couldn't help listening to thinking that who were the real heroes here? If these kids had any idea who saved this country and who did what for this country, and guys like Dennis Eckersley wouldn't sign these young kids' autographs, their little books with all the cards that they wouldn't use. It was absurd.
You know, it's the organization of sports, the organizations, I should say, the franchises of the larger propaganda ministry, the Oakland A's, the New York Giants, the New York Jets, the Chicago Blackhawks, they're all just franchises of one business. And the business is it's Sports Incorporated. And, you know, they're told from a very, very, from the very early beginnings, you don't do this, you don't do that, here's what you say, we'll tell you this, we'll tell you that, you'll go here, you'll go there. And you know something, you're entitled to that. You shouldn't have to talk to the media. They're all a bunch of slobs anyway. And meanwhile, the media, I don't know what they got against the media. These guys fall all over themselves trying to be nice to these guys. And so, you know, hey man, my heroes are my business. My heroes are my business. You don't have to provide a hero for me, society. You don't have to provide one for me. I got my heroes. Some of them are my friends. Some of them were mentors. Some of them were people that I was in the business with. Some of them people I just met along the way. They're my business. And I'll tell you this right now, there ain't a one of them dribbles a freaking ball for a living. Sports heroes are the heroes of children, not of adults, not of grown-up people. Not of people that live in a real world. A sports hero is no hero at all. It's a hero to a child. These are child's games. This is a child's world. Here we have quotes from these Laker fans. Where is it? Man, I hope this doesn't mess up the season, says some guy by the name of here he is. His name is, I hope it doesn't mess up the season, Marcos Villavazo. A woman may be raped in Colorado, but let's get that, let's go for that, you know, the third championship in 4 years or whatever the bull crap is. David Stern had the typical response. You say, well, what do you want to do? I mean, Mickey Mantle got into fist fights. Yeah, he did. Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle, they threw chairs through the windows there at the Copacabana in the late 50s. The Yankees used to have bar fights in New York. Sure they did. And they were slobs, too. Joe DiMaggio. His son died in a Dipsy dumpster. His son died impoverished and on the street. Joe DiMaggio was no father. He wasn't even much of a husband. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, the only thing the guy knew how to do was play baseball. He wasn't a hero. Was he a hero to? Or for what? He was a cheap skinflint who was a lousy father, a lousy husband, a tightwad, insular, not particularly friendly with fans, and he played baseball really well. 56 games, and you want to know something? I still love that 56-game hitting streak. It's one of the most exciting records in sports, and that's the one I'm looking forward to seeing broken because it's a great record. To hit safely in 56 straight games. Nobody's come. I mean, Pete Rose came close with, 46, 48 games a few years back? It's a great record. I mean, I give DiMaggio all due credit for that record. Other than that, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. I got a Mr. Coffee. That's fantastic. Mickey Mantle? What do I care? Mickey Mantle? He's an alcoholic. The closest that I've ever seen to a guy acting with, I don't know anything about the man's life, but I happen to like some of the things he's done since he left baseball. Sandy Koufax told Rupert Murdoch to cram it right straight back up his Aussie you-know-what, because there was a book that came out intimating that Mr. Koufax was gay, and he's not. And so he said, well, guess what? You can take your job offer, and any interview that I ever give with Fox, it's gone. It's kiss it goodbye. I don't blame him. He's not a media hog. He's not running around looking for money. He's not hanging out in bars. He's not getting photographed with every babe, every young starlet. I mean, the cat. Other than that, he's not a hero of mine. He seems to be a guy that is using his retirement sensibly. Let me put it that way. You guys have been conned. You have been lied to. And you have been forced to, you've been force-fed a sort of nonstop stream of mythology. You see, there's a mythology that's been built. The mythology is as such. Well, these guys, they came up from hard scrabble beginnings. Many of them came up from housing projects. They're young black men or young white men who come from a variety of tough backgrounds. A father wasn't there. A mother wasn't there. They played with an old deflated basketball in a dirt court. And then finally a coach discovered them. And then they went on to this and they went on to that. And somehow, because of the tough beginnings that they had, they're somehow to be forgiven some of their transgressions. Because in the overall big picture, look what they brought to our lives. Well, it's over. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. It's all done. I'll pay my money. I'll go watch them play the game. The minute you try to sell to me how tough their life was, though, or the minute you try to tell me about their life away from the court, or the minute somebody wants to prop them up in front of a microphone and make a broadcaster out of them, and that's the part that really burns me, because this happens to be the business that I'm in, and they stick some jock in front of a mic, some guy that was throwing footballs last year, and he's a big, dumb meathead, and they stick him down in front of a microphone. Okay, what do you think about that, Moose? And he sounds like a dumbass and looks like one, too, but hey, they're going to give the guy the big long-term contract, you know. Hey, all of that stuff, right to the curb. Play the ball game, love to watch. The rest of it, you better just keep it to yourself. Because when you guys start selling something to me about these guys being, they've really had a tough time, and we all make mistakes, and, after all, it's only adultery. Hey, that's bad enough as far as I'm concerned. The rest of us out here, there are men who are loyal to their wives. Anybody ever clued the L.A. Lakers in on that one? There are guys that work their asses off every bit as hard as Kobe Bryant. There are men out there that work harder than Kobe Bryant who are faithful to their wives. And I'm not just talking about 2, 3, 4 years, 6, 10, 15, 20 years. They come home to their kids and they act like men to their family. And what do those guys get at the end of the day, huh? Anybody giving them an award? Anybody got a microphone shoved in front of their faces? Anybody want to talk about how tough their life was? Anybody want to write a column about them? No, Kobe Bryant, some punk out of high school. That's who gets all of everybody's attention, and they're feeling sorry. Bryant, I just want you to know, man, if you're listening, you probably aren't. You probably turned it off by now. You looked like you were a joke there on Friday with those tears coming down. Oh, my God, was I embarrassed for you. You were embarrassing. You sniveling whiner. Did you see that guy? Who are you kidding? And my wife, baby, you were every... Yeah, baby, she's everything to you, man. After you got caught, she's everything to you. And after she takes it off in the middle of the night with some pruning shears, Jack, she'll have everything. By the way, I ain't suggesting anything, Mrs. Bryant, but I got a pair of pruning shears I ain't using. You better sleep with one eye open, man. Oh, God. Scott, you're on a Phil Henry show. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Phil, you're on a roll tonight, man. The thing about it is this whole sports thing is based on the greed, and that's why there's all this support for all these athletes, because they want to keep propping them back up so that they can go ahead and continue to make money off of them. The second thing is...
Tell me something I don't know.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you something that you do know. Kobe Bryant's 23 years old, and yeah, he obviously made some sort of mistake, but I don't think you have to take to the point where you're calling him a punk and saying all this stuff. Really,
How come Kobe Bryant gets a pass, and all they can talk about is Clinton this, Clinton that, Clinton something else?
Didn't Clinton get a pass?
No, he did not. They impeached the guy, and they still haven't stopped talking about this guy.
That's true, but all I'm saying is, there's a lot of people out there cheating on their...
All of a sudden, the athletes get all the excuses, though. You guys run to protect the athletes, though. Why is that?
I have nothing to do with sports. I'm not trying to protect them.
That's what you're doing. You're running to his defense right now. Well,
no.
Everybody does it.
No, I'm running to a man's defense that may have made a mistake and committed adultery. And what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of men and women who have made that mistake, and I don't think you have to bash the man to the point.
He's a punk. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not a man at all. He's not a man to his wife, and he's not a man to his children, and he's up there sniveling like a baby, and he's got the L.A. Lakers wiping his rear end and blowing his nose. Now, he can take the ball, stand like a man, see what happens, and then go back out on the court and play. As far as I'm concerned, he is not a hero. He's not an idol. He's not anything. He better get out there and start pumping it in 50 a game to get my money's worth out of his ass. Otherwise, I don't care about him.
But he is a hero to all these kids.
You know what? That's a horrible crime. That's a crime.
True.
It's a crime that I indict the propaganda ministry of sports for.
That's true. It's based on greed, though. And what I'm saying is, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, what are you saying, man?
What I'm saying is, you're trying to put it on Kobe Bryant like he's such a terrible person. But what I'm saying is,
no, he's not a terrible person. He's just a punk. He's a punk.
But
he's not a man. He's a punk.
Though?
Because
so
he's a punk.
What is a grown man that cheats on their wife? Is that a punk?
Excuse me.
What is a grown man that cheats on their wife?
I think he's a punk.
Okay, and what are all these women cheating on their husbands?
Excuse
left
me,
and right?
Every guy that I know, and I've known guys that have been married 20, 25 years, are loyal to their wives. I may not know some things about them, but they're still with their wives. They come home to their kids at night. They drag their asses through the door. They work 50 times harder than Kobe Bryant will ever work in his life.
Wait,
I just want to be clear. Are you trying to tell me that Kobe Bryant, what he does in relation to a poor slob that's out there in the workaday world trying to feed for, you telling me that he's working harder?
Well,
are you telling me that basketball's work? No, come on, Scott.
I'm telling you to be a professional athlete.
Oh, he's
out there
he's a professional clown. He works as hard as the guy that's on the what do they call that? The acrobats. That's what they do. They work hard too. Do you ever go to the circus?
Okay.
Do you go to the circus?
The Tiger Woods work hard. Golfers work hard.
Work hard? He plays golf, man. No, he ain't working hard.
Oh, so you're only working hard if you're digging in ditches.
Yeah, damn right.
Well, Phil, I'll have a lot of respect for you when I go down the street and see you digging in a ditch.
All right, thanks. Bye. I got to go. I didn't mean to cut you off, but my engineer's going nuts. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, the essential nature of sports, and you're going to think I'm making this comment gratuitously. I'm not. Because if you think about it, you'll agree with me. The essential nature of the sports establishment and its fan base is that it barely tolerates women. Barely tolerates women. It's condescending to women. Hey, look, it's a fact. It's a fact. Yeah, I get it. All the women go to see hockey games and everything. But it's really just sort of a condescending toleration of women. There's nothing that really embraces the female fan. And the proof is that the mouthpiece of the various sports teams, which is sports radio, which is nothing more than a mouthpiece for all the sports establishment, those guys go out and mock women's sports. The WNBA is a joke to those cats. The LPGA is nothing but a bunch of dykes. The only female sport that they remotely respect, and they don't even really respect it as a sport, they dig it more because the chicks in it are halfway good looking, and that's female tennis. Or gymnastics, because even sex with a minor is not out of bounds for a lot of our sports friends. And most of those girls are like 14. So that's something else for you guys to think about, if you got the time. Here is Frida. Hello, Frida.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and encourage you because most people don't have to have a real job, but the ones that do need respect, and they have to work 18-hour jobs.
What job have you got?
Oh, well, I don't right now, but my husband does.
What's your husband doing?
He's logging.
He's a logger?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you say he logs on, he's not just taking a trip to the bathroom with a fresh roll, is he?
No.
Okay, so he's cutting down trees.
Yeah, and they have to work until 11 o'clock at night.
That's what I call work. We couldn't have gotten more perfect. He's a logger.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that song by Monty Python? I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Well, see, that to me is a guy. Have you got any kids?
No, that my dad, my grandpa, I mean, everybody in my family's been loggers, my brother.
Generations of loggers.
Yes. So,
see, this is a beautiful thing. This is what, this is America.
If they wasn't working until 10:30 at night, then they would call in and say that you're right on.
Well,
that
I mean,
skilled labor is what a job is.
Come on. I mean, these cats are looking at a guy dribbling the ball. Yeah, that, you know what? And it's, in that universe, it's hard work. No doubt about it. But I'm not about to give that guy the props over some dude that's cutting trees down till 11 o'clock at night. How does he even know where it's going to... It's too dark to see it fall, isn't it?
No, they don't. They can't. But, I mean,
they
have
timber?
To drive like an hour and a half to get to the to their house. And by the time they get in, they're dragging their butts through the door.
I'll bet. Now, do you make them a nice, big, tall, you know, a little Jim Beam and water?
yeah, they wish.
and then does he sweep you up in his arms and put you in his lap and...
No, by then he takes a shower and goes to sleep.
Oh, really? Now, do they still use that double-handled saw, you know, one guy on one end and the other guy on the other?
No.
Like I see in those Northwest Mountie movies? No, they don't?
No, but my dad has logged with mules.
He logged with mules, huh?
Yeah. He's got Kate and Ada, a team of mules.
Oh, he still does?
Yeah. And that is his fun, other than logging.
He likes his mules.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. I'm very happy I talked to you, Frida, because I can get caught up in the middle of the world that I live in and think that everything is a latte at Starbucks.
Yeah.
So he doesn't sweep you up in his arms and go, baby, I'm going to bed.
Nope.
No?
He's tired.
Well, what do you guys do on the weekends then?
We usually don't get able to do anything because he works really late.
Really? So does he have a day off?
Sunday.
So what do you guys do on Sunday?
Go to church and go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep?
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. Hey, Frida, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, honey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I just called her honey. That was condescending. I didn't mean to say that. Frida! It was very paternal, that's all. All right, 1-800-449-8686. That woman's husband has a job. He logs, baby. He's cutting down them trees. And then he goes, timber! And I don't know which way it's falling. Why? It's dark. It's 11 o'clock at night. Whoever said we had to log at night's an idiot. Ew, plump. Okay, there goes Eddie's truck. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Clara Bingham is a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Congregation. What do you tell the kids about Kobe Bryant? And I know many of them are basketball fans.
Yes, Phil. Really, we just tell them that Kobe is innocent. We tell them, not that he is so much innocent, but if you look at Kobe and you see the great Kobe Bryant that we have all loved, he could not have done this. And we try to reassure the children. It just does not make any sense, you know, and I know he did not rape that girl. Anyone who really knows Kobe knows that that did not happen.
All right, I mean, if Kobe Bryant, so you're telling the children that he could not have raped the girl?
We tell the children that there is no way that a young, proud African-American man like that with a beautiful wife, it just does not make no sense. And the children understand, and they, of course, are always very relieved to hear that. But beyond that, Phil, I think it is important to tell the children who might have done this to Kobe. Because our people have been victimized for a long time. We feel...
Do you have a theory on that?
Absolutely. First of all, the young lady that allegedly Mr. Brown was with was a concierge at the hotel. A concierge is someone who make a hotel, make a restaurant appointment, will make a car appointment. And it is entirely possible this young white girl, Mr. Bryant, asked for a hotel or a restaurant reservation or wanted a reservation for a car.
And just so people know, this is a person in the lobby who will help you make reservations for dinner, for a show.
That is correct. They are a liaison that the hotel offers to their guests for outside activities.
Okay.
And when you ask them to make a reservation for a dinner, or a reservation for a car, they will tell you, we'll make a reservation for you once you go in the lounge, and that is the cocktail lounge. I'd like to make a reservation for tennis time in the morning so I can reserve a court.
Uh-huh.
We would be glad to do that for you. Wait in the cocktail lounge. I think Kobe Bryant, like so many young men before him, had gone down to this concierge or other concierge to make an appointment and were directed to the hotel lounge. And that is where they get them. And that's
so he was manipulated into drinking excessively?
That is my feeling exactly, because I have seen this time and again, that young women, and I don't mean any disrespect, and this is really not racial, Phil, and I didn't mean to inject a racial tone in this, but this is what we call mountain trash. Now, this is...
Mountain trash.
This is a specific kind of young lady. They have born and raised in a mountain. Their father and mother have lived in a mountain. And now that a resort had been built, they work in the resort. Mountain trash or this resort trash, they see a hotel as an opportunity to meet a man to get them out.
Kind of like an officer and a gentleman. Those girls worked in that factory. And
That is correct. And they see a young man who is successful. And so when the athlete asks, I'd like to make a reservation for a car. I want to make a reservation for dinner. I'd like to make a reservation to go skiing. They say, well, if you'll just go into the lounge. And the mountain trash...
If you say mountain trash, you're talking about this girl...
It's a particular class of people, yes. And this mountain trash will manipulate especially a young, good-looking man who is a basketball player and make a very good living. And the trash, I believe, manipulated him into the bar. And then from that point forward, of course, he was drinking. And from that point forward, then, I don't think you can be held responsible.
Well, no, wait a minute. See, that's what I want to ask you. If a guy gets hammered, you say she manipulated him into the bar. He's asking for a reservation for this, a reservation for that. And she says, well, why don't you go in the bar and wait?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so he goes in the bar. He has a couple of blasts. He comes back out. I'd like to make a dinner reservation. Go back in the bar. So he's having these blasts. He gets hammered. He picks up on her. He takes her back to his room. He has sex with her. At what point does this man have to assume some of this responsibility?
So I don't think it's that. I don't think you can put the responsibility on him. He had no intention of cheating on his wife. And I heard you call him the names that you called him. He was very weak from a knee operation. And that combined with all the alcohol she plied him with is a deadly situation for Mr. Kobe Bryant. And again, he was on medication. I think the mountain trash knew what she was doing. And
I'd like the lady referred, if you don't mind, to...
I'm sorry, but I am telling you this is a certain class of people.
I understand. 1-800-449, hold on for a minute, Ms. Bingham. 1-800-449-8686. You're telling your children at the middle school Kobe couldn't have done it.
That is correct, yes. And they agree with me. And they agree.
And they're agreeing.
They totally agree.
How old are these kids?
Our middle school, our students ages 11 through 13.
11 through 13. The kids believe that Kobe is innocent because...
Because they know Kobe, because they see him on the basketball floor. And I can tell you, Phil, as well, that my husband, who is Pastor William Rennick here at Joyful Union, we have two floor seats that we get from Mr. Spike Lee, who is a wonderful film director.
Spike Lee is the movie director.
That is correct.
And you use his floor seats?
We do use his floor seats on occasion throughout the season. And these are two outstanding floor seats. And we have gotten to know the Laker organization so very well. And I don't think that there is any way that a good young man like Kobe Bryant is going to purposely go out and cheat on a lovely woman like his wife, who is absolutely the fruit of black womanhood, with this white girl... who have a summer job and certainly does not have the prospects or the culture or the training that his wife had. It just doesn't make no sense. And that's what we have told the children, and they agree with us.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And I did see his wife, and she is lovely, and it certainly... But he does admit to having had sex with her.
That is correct. But
you think it was manipulated?
I think that when a young African-American man is... And this is not racial. So please don't think that I'm being racial, but when a young African-American man is induced to drink and has not one but has several drinks by a young white woman, I think that this cannot be put on him. This is another in a long line of white women trying to disgrace the manhood of the black of our black culture. Well,
you say it's not racial, but you're bringing up race.
It is not racial. It has nothing to do with race. I'm simply saying that these young hillbilly trash and these end up.
Well, again, you go with the hillbilly trash.
Well, they are young white women that are. If you look at.
By the way, Ms. Bingham, I don't mean to interrupt. They're not hillbilly trash, but I found online, Janice found online, it's all over the internet, picture of this young lady, and a picture of the young lady with her cheerleader friends, and they're all sitting there in the gym, and they're white, all right.
They're all blondes. I mean, it is amazing. They are all blonde white girls. And there is nothing more attractive to a young blonde very innocent hillbilly trash than some of these young black men. Now, this resort trash gal took one look at Mr. Kobe Bryant. He was limping back to his room. He had had knee surgery. And for a young gal like this, this is the Holy Grail. And I think, if anything, that charges should be brought against her.
And what charges?
I think you could say that she raped him in many ways.
Oh, come on.
I'm not saying the action, but I'm saying some kind of sexual assault, because he was a young black man in a weakened state from a knee operation, and the hillbilly trash got to him. And I would say that...
All right, I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to ask my producer to have her... Otherwise, I can't talk to her. She keeps referring to hillbilly trash and mountain trash and resort trash. This is Clara Bingham. She is a middle school teacher. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. She believes that Kobe Bryant was induced or manipulated into sex with this woman because he's an athlete, he's a famous man, and this young lady, quite frankly, saw an opportunity to have sex with a handsome young black man. There are pictures of her on the internet, and she is a blonde, very pretty, with a whole bunch of other blonde cheerleaders. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with middle school teacher Clara Bingham, who believes Kobe Bryant is innocent, and you tell your middle school students that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry.
You tell the students?
Oh, absolutely we tell us, because we believe in telling our students the truth. And
but you're not exactly sure that's the truth, are you?
Mr. Hendry, I have seen this. My husband has been a victim of this. My husband, who I had married 8 months ago, who is Pastor William Rennick of Joyful Union, had been at an evangelical conference and conclave in Miami, Florida. And he had literally had the shirt torn off his back by one of these resort hustlers. And you can see that when an African-American man traveled by himself, the white woman wanted. Now,
you're saying this is not racial, but you're bringing race into it.
It has nothing to do with race. I believe everybody is equal. But I just notice a lot of these gals who do happen to be, hillbilly or whatever you want to call it. I won't call you. You're offended by that.
Well, I think a lot of my listeners are offended by it.
Well, I just noticed that a lot of them do this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I just wanted to comment about what I've been hearing for the last few minutes about the white, blonde girl, hillbilly trash, whatever trash. And I'm just very offended by that. If I called anyone by color and attached any negative name after that, I would be so accused of racism, I would lose my job.
Well, I'm not talking about you. I don't know
no,
what you
I know,
mean by
but I'm just, you keep saying there's no race involved, but
no, there
it certainly
not.
Is.
There is no race involved. I'm just talking about a certain kind of hillbilly that want to have sex with a young black man, that's all.
Well, what if he decided he wanted to have the same chance with a young white woman?
This man has a beautiful wife back in Los Angeles, California. He does not need to go to Hillbilly, Colorado, wherever this is, and have sex with a child. Now, I warn young African-American boys in my class that these type of women will try to get at them or go for their genitals or what have you. And I was,
Wait. The boys in your class are 11 to 13?
That is correct.
And you're telling them that what, white women?
I'm saying a certain kind of white woman, yeah, will go for the genital.
Why not say a certain kind of black man will go for a blonde?
Because I'm talking to young African-Americans, because they're telling me right now they don't believe that Kobe was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
I'm also a middle school teacher. I could get fired for saying that.
Well, I'm sorry you work in a very non-progressive district. But I will tell you
Well,
right
I
now,
don't
Joe,
believe that the can I ask place you in Colorado is a hillbilly town, though.
Are you white?
Of course.
Why'd you say of course? I do
because
not
Because I...
You.
Pardon me?
Do you know what color I am?
No, I don't.
Well, if I said I'm black, of course, what would you say to that?
Oh, I wouldn't think anything about it.
You see, as a teacher, I try to do these things with my kids, you know, and try to blow their minds or what have you.
All right.
My husband is Pastor Rennick. He had no interest in blondes. He loved me, so that kind of blows your theory right out of the water. I have a black husband.
Well, I think that's great. I don't have a problem with any of that. I just have a problem at your description.
Well, dear, I'm...
Well, that was what I was trying to say. Hillbilly trash and resort trash ain't making it. Thank you very
right.
much, Joan. 1-800-449-8686. Michelle, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not so much offended by what she's saying. I just think that her comments are completely ignorant. Number one, I think she's wrong. I think he was there the night before. That's when the incident took place. He had surgery the next day, so he wasn't on painkillers. As far as the... report says on the internet, on the news services. And number two, if it was a black woman, would she feel the same way? I don't understand her comments about the fact that she's white. It has nothing to do with color. I'm not finished. He is a healthy, handsome, rich, young man. It could have happened to anyone, and he could have resisted. He admits it was consensual. He has a beautiful wife back in Los Angeles. The fact remains, he did it.
It's well, that is
to do
true.
With the fact that she's got no manners or morals, neither does he. If you want to talk about morals and ethics, he doesn't have them either because he cheated on his wife.
Well, sir, I'd like to respond if I could.
Go ahead.
First of all, Michelle, I think you are so right that that he did say he won't do it. But white women can do this to a black man. Are you white?
I'm Hispanic.
All right, but that in a lot of people's mind that is white. Not in my mind. You're You are, you got color. But in a lot of folk, that's white. All right?
And I don't really care what other folks think about it anyway.
All right. If you see, and you just said it, I could hear in your voice that he is a good-looking young African-American man. He is the fruit of our young black culture.
Exactly.
And for him to be handled like that by some of this hillbilly stuff, and for him to...
Well, when you say handled like that, this lady just made the point that it was consensual.
I believe it was consensual.
Ms. Gingham, did your husband resist when you white women chase him?
My husband
is... He resists because he loves you.
My husband, he doesn't resist because, as a black man...
He resists because he's a man of God. Apparently, you said he was a pastor.
He is. My husband is a pastor of Joyful Union, which is our congregation.
And I
but I have... I know. But you have to understand, I have floor seats. I use Mr. Spike Lee floor seats at all Lakers games.
I didn't say that earlier. Yes,
all right, I know Kobe Bryant. We have the floor seats on the same row with Mr. Nicholson. And
you
we love... Yes, ma'am?
I have to say, I respect him for admitting that it was consensual, because when I first heard the allegations, I was completely shocked. I said, no, not Kobe. Kobe could not do this. He could not perform sexual assault.
Right.
He admits it was consensual, and as a handsome, rich man, I happen to believe that.
Well, I will say this to you, Michelle. That's the second time you've described him as handsome. I'm going to speak woman to woman to you. If you don't, I want to pay you the compliment of being honest with you. May I? Because you sound like an intelligent woman.
Thank you.
Now, you are young. I'm going to assume you are a beautiful young woman.
Actually, I'm a 43-year-old paralegal in Colorado.
You know what, honey? I still think you're young, okay? And I bet you're beautiful. And if Kobe Bryant come walking through the lobby of the Eagle Resort Hotel... You tell me you wouldn't be all over that like white on rice?
No, I would not.
You'd be all over him?
I would not, because
you,
I respect. I have more respect for myself.
A lot of these white women.
And I'm married, and
all,
I would not.
Well, you're married woman?
She said she's married, yeah.
I think a beautiful black woman would could lose their morals.
Well,
the same way that
I've got
that as you referred to, hillbilly trash could have done it.
Hillbilly trash. Now, we have a floor seat at Laker game. Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst sit right behind us. We know on the same level of Mr. Nicholson, and we have always said lovely things about him. You can't hide anything when you have floor seats. And you are the kind of woman, and I hope someday you sit on the floor, you're probably halfway up in the colonnade.
I don't know.
What does the comment mean?
The comment means that I don't think you know the Laker like I know Laker.
Well, what do you know about the Lakers? You got floor seats. What do you know about them?
Well, go ahead, Michelle. I'm sorry.
What I don't know, I'm sure I don't know them as intimately as you do, but only his wife knows him as intimately. He doesn't. That doesn't
Good
even
point.
Matter.
Good point. And speaking of beautiful, his wife is a knockout.
She is a knockout.
And you said that.
Absolutely, Phil. So he went
and
out
I
willingly.
I feel for her. She's standing by her.
Michelle, no black man willingly goes to bed with a white woman. They always have to get him drunk first.
All right, Michelle, thank you very much for your call. Do you really believe that?
Oh, absolutely. If you ask any African-American man, he has to get liquored up before he sleeps with a white woman. Now, that's a fact. And you can say...
I don't believe it.
Well, you can say I'm denying it. You can deny it. Have you ever slept with a black woman, Mr. Henry?
You know something? That's none of your business.
Well, I know you have, because you said on air you did. And you never got liquored up.
No, I never got liquored up.
No African-American man who is proud can go to bed with a white woman unless he liquored up.
All right. And where are your seats, by the way?
We have floor seats on the same level as Mr. Jack Nicholson. Also down from Mr. Lou Adler. And Mr. Tobey Maguire and Miss Kirsten Dunst sit behind us at all the game. And Pastor Rennick had to turn around and tell them to shut up. Because we were in a playoff game, we were having a good time, and they would not shut up. And Kirsten Dunst was going on and on about her nails and her ring. And finally my husband just turned around and said, would you shut your resort trash mouth? Just shut the hole under your nose.
I understand. Okay, 1-800-449, telling Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst to shut up. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with middle school teacher Clara Bingham. She basically telling her kids that Kobe Bryant is innocent, and they agree. And you have referred to the young woman who has been his accuser as hillbilly trash. You've called her resort trash.
Mr. Hendry, I don't want you to focus on that. That is so negative. And it's not about race. And you have tried to make this racial.
I've not tried to make it racial. Me? You're the one that called her hillbilly trash.
But you keep trying to put it into a racial light. I think that is so wrong. My husband and I, Pastor William Rennick, a Joyful Union congregation, since Mr. Spike Lee, who had made Colors, who had made Do the Right Thing, who had made Girl Six, who had made Get on the Bus, who had made... this is a great man.
Oh, I understand Spike Lee's a great man. He's a great director.
He had given us his floor seats. Now, we sit at every Laker game, and Warren Beatty, his lovely wife, Annette Bening, had shared some nacho chips with us, so we hear everything on the floor. And I know Kobe Bryant, Mr. Kobe Bryant, just as well as his wife, Vanessa, because we hear everything on the floor.
But you've not met them. You just hear a lot of stuff from your seats. 1-800-449-8686. Kelly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kelly?
Yeah?
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Okay, well, the first comment I'd like to make is Kirsten and Toby aren't even together anymore, so how could you, like, see them there? And
well, when they were together, I could see them there. That's how I could, dear. That's a very funny, that's a curious question to ask for a young lady. How old are you?
Well, obviously you don't know because they're not even together.
Just
and they weren't together.
Are you jealous that I met them? Because if you're jealous, talk about your jealousy then.
I'm not jealous that you met them, but...
Do you work at a resort?
How do you know the Lakers personally just because you have floor seats?
That's a good question.
First of all, I'd like to ask you, Mr. Henry, you, Kelly, have any of you ever sat on a floor seat?
No, ma'am, I have not. Have you, Kelly?
Nope.
All right.
No, I haven't.
When you are down on a floor seat, I'm on the same level with Mr. Jack Nicholson, Mr. Lou Adler, and everyone. And you hear all the talk, you hear all this trash talk, all the mess, the coach saying, go here, go there with the ball, and the players all complaining about how they hate doing this, they hate playing basketball, they hate their wives or something like that. We all hear. And so you get to know the players that way.
Okay, well, so your pictures in Us Weekly then, because they always have the pictures of everyone that sits on the floor seats in Us Weekly.
Yes, I think Pastor Renick and I were in Us Weekly.
Which magazine?
I don't know which.
To check it out.
I don't know which issue. You're just going to have to go and look. All right, and that's you're going to be spending a lot of money on magazines.
I already have a subscription to Us Weekly. It's my life.
You know something? All you want to do is be me, and you know what? I'm black, and I got floor seats.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
I'm
you know,
so jealous.
Eat your heart out. Eat your heart out.
Well, wait a minute.
Whatever.
What are we doing here?
Well, she called up just to find, because she's jealous that I met Tobey Maguire. I had met Kirsten Dunst. You want to know who else I met?
Actually, I think you're a liar.
I met Nick Stahl. I'm a liar, am I? You know something? That's typical of white women. Every time, you know, they can't have the black man.
How do you know I'm white?
You sound like a dumb, because you sound like resort trash.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to hang up.
All right. I'm sorry, Kelly.
That's
girl,
all right.
You know, you live for U.S. Weekly. You are pure resort trashaholic.
All right. She's offended by you. Here's Dominic. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to know, maybe I caught it in the middle of this conversation, I don't know, but you said something about, what was it? No proud black man would sleep with a white woman unless he was liquored up. Am I correct?
Dominic, let me clarify. Yes, sir.
Did you say, yeah. Right, answer the question.
Did
you say that? Did you say that, yes or no?
I did say that. Can I clarify that? Can I clarify the comment?
Well, you did say it. The lady heard you say it, and I heard you say it.
Now, the only thing I have to say is if you are so proud, you would not have to get liquored up to sleep with a white woman, if you did not want to. You would not put yourself in that situation. If you are so proud, you would not flaunt that you have floor seats, which has, I don't know what your reasoning is behind the freaking floor seats. What does that matter? You would not flaunt that in people's faces.
Pastor
and you
Renick,
say
I
that you don't want
and you are jealous of me having a floor seat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, help me. I'm so jealous.
You
oh, my
jealous
God.
Of the floor seat I have.
Basketball. It doesn't matter. The reason why I'm so upset is because you know why? Because every single time I hear people say, oh, you don't want to make this a racial issue, when all you keep saying is whitey this and whitey that, why don't you talk about something that
that's
matters?
That's a good point.
I mean, seriously,
I am talking about a very serious situation here. Now, one time, my husband, Pastor William Renick, wandered with a resort trash gal. Now, the only reason he wandered with a white woman, they had to have 6 margarita that she bought.
Okay, so is that everybody's situation then? I don't think so.
I am sorry for
what happened. It's
all right,
what
about the floor seats you keep talking about?
Because
what does that have to do with anything? Who cares if you talk to your only people?
I have floor seats, and I met Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, and Nick Stahl, too.
Oh,
now, Nick Stahl is going to be in the latest, and I don't know what movie, but he was in the bedroom. And I don't know if you ever saw that.
Who cares?
You're saying, this is what I don't understand. This is a conversation that you're having that you keep referring back to the stars in your floor seats.
Yeah, your point, Ms. Bingham, is that because you have floor seats, you hear...
We're proud of you. You have floor seats. We're very, very proud. We're happy.
No,
we got the picture.
Dominic, all I'm saying is, now the last girl to call in, she's all jealous because she's had the picture of everybody on the floor seat.
Okay.
And because I have floor seats.
You know, people look up to different people. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was talking to Heather Locklear about this very thing, because she has floor seats, too. And she said she doesn't think Kobe Bryant could ever do that. Courtney Cox
agrees. I couldn't hear you, honey.
She does not think Kobe Bryant could ever do that.
I don't think, you know what, maybe he did, but you know what?
And Courtney Cox believes that he could, because apparently Courtney Cox liquored up one night.
What is your theory?
What's your theory?
Well, first of all,
Phil, what do you think? Not Heather Locklear, not Jack Nicholson, or whatever, whoever you sit next to, and screw the floor seats. It doesn't matter. What is your theory?
My theory is because I saw with my own eyes.
It doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, or green.
Now, see, you're making a racial issue out of this. This is not racial.
No. You made the first accusation, so you know what?
I'm going to say something
because I am not afraid to. And maybe more people should not have to be afraid to. Because you know what? Well, the majority of my friends are, you
you're
know,
offended.
It doesn't even matter. It
you're
doesn't
offended.
Even matter.
Because you used to sleep with
because
black men and threw you out of his bed.
I get along with everyone.
Did
but
you,
when people
can I ask you a question?
Statements like that.
Did a black man throw,
so ignorant.
Did a black man throw you out of his bed because you sound bitter? You sound vindictive?
No, you know what? You know what I'm bitter at? It's you, people like you, the ignorant people of this world, who
I
just
saw
don't know
Rodney
what to shut up and shut up about the floor seat.
I saw Rodney Dangerfield, and I will tell you something else. On the floor seat Mr. Spike Lee gave us, Vanna White was hanging all over Kobe Bryant one night.
Who cares?
Up and down his leg with a crotch, everything. I
are
think
you jealous that, are
God.
You jealous of the white woman that they
that
can go and sleep
Kobe
with
didn't
black
want him,
men?
But Kobe didn't want him nothing to do with her.
Wait.
Hit the nail on the head, honey. Vanessa, that's what it is, isn't it?
Vanna White was rubbing her,
jealous.
And I don't think she wasn't panty. And Kobe didn't want to have nothing, none of it. That's what I'm trying to say. Only way he'd sleep with Vanna White is if he got liquored up.
You know what? I believe the man is innocent myself. But I don't think it had... Maybe I caught on the conversation in the middle of it. Maybe I didn't hear what you guys were saying in the beginning.
Well, Ms. Bingham is basically saying...
And Cuba Gooding Jr. was on the floor seats, too.
Yeah, he's a great man. And what's
whatever,
that,
yeah,
that
you know, I mean...
Tell me what is the
you know, what is the point here?
Look, Mandy Moore told me...
Will you knock it off with the celebrities?
Oh, my God! If you are so popular, how come you are on this phone right now? Why are you talking to...
First
me?
Of all, what I'm trying to say to you is that I don't think that he did it. I think he couldn't have done it. Because a black man has to get liquored up, and you don't want me to say these things.
Oh,
you,
but
a black man's
got
to get liquored
maybe,
up to sleep with a white
maybe,
woman.
Maybe a black man does have to get liquored up, but you
know
what? If he's so damn proud, he won't put himself in that situation.
I
he won't
knew,
think.
And you
he
know how drunk he has to get.
Something like that.
Can I say something? About, you don't have
no,
drunk.
Because, see, the thing is, you're just getting upset because I have comebacks to what you're saying.
Well, I come back to this one, then.
What,
you know how drunk
who
a black man has to get to sleep with Reba McEntire? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, well, who did you sit next to now? What
no,
what
I'm just asking.
Had a point.
I'm just saying, do you know how drunk an African-American man has to get to sleep with Pat Benatar? I mean, that's bottles and cases. And what I'm trying...
What has this got to do with Kobe Bryant in freaking Colorado and this poor young girl who, if she was raped, Ms. Bingham, you're going to have to come back on this show and explain a lot.
That's what I'd like to know. That's
have you ever shared a Kinesh with Tom Cruise at a basketball game? No, you have not. So how would you know the things I speak of?
Oh, well.
And Kevin Bacon, most black women have to drink to sleep with Kevin Bacon. So all of this is...
All right.
Calista Flockhart, my husband slept with Calista Flockhart.
Good, how are you? I'm just talking about
Morgan Freeman and Boy George.
All right, listen, Dominic, thank you. Go ahead.
I just don't. I don't know.
What?
See something black this, but you know what? Person too. But
oh, you know, honey, your car phone's breaking up.
Oh, sorry.
I think she's jealous. She had to pay a black man to sleep with her.
No, wait a minute. She heard that. listen, Dominic, I gotta go. Thanks for your call. Ms. Bingham, don't be manipulating those poor children into believing things that you want them to believe, okay?
And Ellen DeGeneres said to me...
That's good. 1-800-449-8686. We have floor seats from Mr. Spike Lee. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, speaking of sporting events, is there anything better than sitting next to some cat that's a great heckler? Some guy that is just ripping. And, you know, week in, week out, like when I had season seats for the Lakers and I had season tickets for the Rams, and there was a guy that sat right across the aisle from me, and I love this guy. No matter who the Rams were playing, he rooted for that team. Right? And especially when the Cowboys came into town, this guy would come in full cowboy regalia. Just a big freaking hat, you know, the big chaps. Cowboys, yeah! You know, and we got to know this guy so well, we just knew he was just trying to bug us, but it was cool. And I'm at a Laker game one night, this other guy I heard, here's another good heckler. This guy was right behind me, and I'm watching the Golden State Warriors, and they used to have a guard named Sleepy Floyd. And Sleepy Floyd had that nickname because he had that kind of heavy-lidded eyes. He looked a little bit like, you know, Tweety Bird or something, right? And this guy behind me, for some reason, he's cracking me up because this is all he's saying. Don't give the ball to Sleepy. He might fall asleep. Oh, he's too tired. Hey, Sleepy, why don't you catch a nap? Everything, you know, this guy's nickname, Sleepy Floyd. And basket, Sleepy Floyd. Sleepy, you woke up and got one. Guy was killing me. And then there's the people who, you can tell they don't go to a lot of games. They're new. This is the biggest thing in their life. It's the greatest moment in their life. They're in a basketball. They're in a, you know, they're in a professional NBA game, you know. And even if their team is down by 50 and there's only 1 minute left, they're like, come on, Lakers! Let's go, Lakers! There was a lady behind me one night. Let's go! Come on, Lakers! Come on! It's just like 50-point deficit. There's no way they're coming back. The third string's in off the bench. People are leaving. Let's go, Lakers! She's waving her banner and everything. You love those people. And what about these fans that take it upon themselves to become the mascot? Now, we're all familiar with crazy fans. This has been going on for years and years. They say back in the 50s at Ebbets Field, the reason why people bring a cowbell and ring cowbells at games is because of some Brooklyn Dodger fan would bring a cowbell. But what about these fans that take it upon themselves to, like, dress up? Like at the Anaheim Angel games, back when I was a kid, we'd go see the L.A., what they used to be called the L.A. Angels, right, to the ballpark. And this was a father and his wife and his daughter would rig up a halo that they'd stick over their head with wings, and they'd run up and down the aisle, just, yeah, let's go, Angels, come on! Running up and down the aisle with it. I'm thinking, oh, these poor people. That poor girl, she's just warped. The Angels couldn't have hired this guy because he's got the flat-top haircut with the Mr. Wilson glasses, you know, the Dennis the Menace's dad's glasses. And he's got the white dress shirt with the cutoff. He's got a phony baloney tinfoil halo and some wings that they made out of cardboard. And they're running up and down, like, yeah, Angels, yeah, Angels, come on, Angels. And you'd think the guy was psycho. Then another guy would bring a horn to the games, and you'd hear that typical, and there's a guy in front of me, play it again, Hot Lips. And the guy's sneaking the bottle of rye, and then the wave. Have you ever been in a section where people are trying to get the wave started? Have you ever purposefully tried to screw them up? Did you try to start the wave? Oh, my God. I saw some guys trying to start the wave one night, right? It was the Dodger-Cardinal National League playoff game in 85. And these dudes are like, come on! Come on! I'm going, no, I refuse. I will not. You know, I'm shaking my head. No. Don't do it. No, don't stand up. You know, come on, everybody, a wave. Come on. No, don't do it. Well, these two guys are sitting in front of me, and they're very furtive-looking dudes. They're wearing sort of those British racing caps, and they're passing a bottle of rye whiskey back and forth. And they hear me do that. They go, you know what? That was completely awesome. They start pouring whiskey into my Coke. That was great, man. All these guys. It's great. A good guy that can really heckle. Sit down, Russell, you old lady. They're the best. The ex-roommate of the Baylor University player has been arrested. A former roommate of missing Baylor University basketball player Patrick Dennehy was charged Monday with murder. The warrant named Carlton Dotson. It was issued by the police in Waco, Texas, where Dennehy has been missing since mid-June. Two officers escorted Dotson, who was wearing handcuffs. So he's been arrested. That was at 9:20, which is 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time. So I don't know what this story is about. Forgive me. It's a missing. It sounds like something highly personal. It sounds like just a some sort of serious situation that went awry, and it just involves a Baylor University basketball player. So it's in the news. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been trying to talk about for the last few days. I like that girl whose dad was a logger, though, man. That was great. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Just a kind of whirlwind trip now around what's happening elsewhere. Mansionization. Have you ever heard of that? Well, there are people around the nation who are lining up to stop it. Now, what is it? It's when you buy a lot, you buy a piece of property, and you build a 6,000-square-foot home on it using every possible square inch of that lot. So, in other words, you may have, and I don't know what the standard size, maybe a quarter, a fifth of an acre or something, whatever you've got, and you have your house on it. You've got a backyard, you have a front yard, you have a garage, you have a driveway, you have places to recreate, you have places, and it's a balanced lot. People are not doing that anymore. They are buying the lot, and they're ripping down the house, and they're building something that looks like a monstrosity. And the reason why this is kind of interesting to me is because, and it may be happening in your neck of the woods, is because in my hometown of Arcadia, California, they are mansionizing the place, and it's ridiculous. You've got a 6,000-square-foot home. You open up the window of the bathroom, and you can see the guy next door taking a leak, and he's 3 feet away. That's great. Look, you don't live in Beverly Hills. Do you understand? You don't live in Beverly Hills. You may have a great-looking house. It still looks like it's in Arcadia below Huntington Drive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just live in a freaking house, man. You know, these cats, they think, why, with any luck? You know, we'll make this the next Bel Air. I don't think so. Not with a flood control channel running through it.